Today's Spurscast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/almighty. That's audibletrial.com/almighty. Over 180,000 titles to choose from. Access them right on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Fun to do bad things.
That's real, yo. I don't think that's real at all, man. The more money you make, the more problems you get. And jealousy and envy is something that comes with the territory, man. A lot of people, it's just negative energy, like my man Puff said.
What country you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of? They speak English and what?
What?
English, mother, do you speak it?
Man, you been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Welcome to the Spurscast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast.
Congratulations, you have arrived at episode 432 of the Spurscast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast, brought to you, of course, by ProjectSpurs.com. I'm your host, Ryan McCallum, fresh off of a plane and landed here just in time to call up my good buddy, Jose Grijalva. Jose, how you doing, man?
Good. It's Friday for us, so, well, it's going to, I think it's going to, might get released the same day, right? So it's Friday, leg day, shoulder day, and arms this week, so I'm ready. I'm ready to pass out.
Well, I hope you're ready for some Phoenix, man, because I just got my little cheap Phoenix Suns ticket. I'm sitting in the roof at, what is it, Walking Stick Casino? Is it Walking Stick
Talking Stick?
Yeah, Talking Stick Casino Resort Arena Hotel. I don't know what. You know what's odd is how can they have an arena named after a casino? Doesn't that seem counterintuitive to what the NBA was? Just a major sports franchise aligning with gambling? Doesn't that just seem odd?
Not at all. Not okay. At all.
All right. Thanks for jumping into conversation with me so easily today. On a Friday, man, you're supposed to kick it. We're supposed to be positive and go into the weekend just feeling all happy that we got along finally.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I was used to recording like three or two a week. Now it's just one lonely one a week. Oh, but then the kids. I mean, we have our first game on Monday, so we're pretty. They're excited. I'm dead nervous. You know, during the summer league, I wanted to throw up. I was so nervous because I mean, it's all on me. You know, it's all. If they win, it's them. But if we lose, it's me. So now I know how Pop feels. He probably throws up before every game too.
I wouldn't doubt it one bit. Hey, man, so we're going to do a pretty quick podcast today. We got to give the fans what they want heading into the weekend, but I don't have a whole lot of time. You don't have a whole lot of time, so we'll try to bang this one out. This is 4:32, man. We were talking just before
Let's
the show.
Let's
bang. Ching, right? So we're going pretty quick through these. 4:32, that's a whole lot of podcasting.
Yeah, it was just yesterday where we were at 4:20.
That's right. Yesterday for you.
Yeah.
Well, today is going to be easy because there's not much Spurs news. The trade deadline has passed. We'll talk a little bit about some of the meaningful trades, some former Spurs that are on the move, how it shapes up in the West and some power rankings and things like that. But, you know, if I start looking at the trades that didn't happen, you know, I would land on Paul George. We talked about Carmelo Anthony. We talked about Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler. These guys were all supposed to get traded, right? And we were supposed to see some kind of a new mix out there in the East. And we really didn't see a lot of that. We saw a lot of secondary level players move around. Carmelo Anthony, despite all the drama, he's still there at 32 years old, still with the New York Knicks. His little buddy Derrick Rose was supposed to go play for his old coach Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota, which I don't really get how that was gonna mesh. I'm sure he'd be fine with Tom Thibodeau, but how does that really help Karl Anthony Towns and the development of that whole crew?
I liked it. I was actually hoping for that because then you could just take him off the books, and then you have so much cap that it might entice a big league name.
Wait, you like it from Minnesota's perspective, or you like it from New York's perspective?
Minnesota. They need to get rid of Ricky Rubio for whatever, whoever. I mean, it was going to be an expiring deal for Derrick Rose. So, I mean, that's, you know, what he's going to be off the books. Lots of cap space.
Okay, well, we'll debate that one. But Jimmy Butler, who, you know, it's surprising. Jimmy Butler's 27 years old. Somehow he got to be 27 years old. It seems like that snuck up on us. And there was rumors that he was going to go over to Boston for, you know, some players and that Brooklyn pick. That didn't happen. And then Paul George, that's one that I didn't quite expect to hear, or I didn't expect going into the trade deadline that there was going to be some buzz about Paul George. And I don't know why, because after all of the reports about the Paul George rumor to LA or possibly to Boston, it started to make a ton of sense. He's indicated that he wants to stay in Indiana, but let's be real, right? So he's probably on his way out at the end of this. At the end of his current deal. So, and he's only 26 years old. Paul George, I was surprised that he didn't move. Out of all of these other guys, Paul George, I was surprised he didn't move. After all the reporting that came out within like a day of the trade deadline, it made just a ton of sense. What do you think about Paul George staying in Indiana?
If I'm Indiana, I just move him. He's kind of made it clear he's not going to re-sign there. Mm-hmm. They're not really going to get better. It's not really the most attractive place to go to. A lot of the names that went there are either from Indiana, like George Hill when he was there. I mean, he was happy to go in that trade. They get traded, or they're drafted there. So they're homegrown talent. I don't think he just wants to be there anymore. It's not going to get better. So I would have traded him to anybody where you can get the best possible offer. I know he wants to go to the Lakers. The Lakers really weren't going to offer him that much. Maybe they, a few starters, maybe the young contracts, if they can absorb the majority of the deal. But I just think that, having him stay was a bad decision.
To have Paul George stay?
Yeah, and it's probably going to cost Larry Bird his job, I think.
You think so? Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, positively.
So he's one of those executives where I think he's just getting by on reputation alone, because they really haven't made very positive moves. I mean, historically, right? I mean, what's the move that they got rid of Kawhi Leonard, right? And that turned into, Kawhi wasn't Kawhi at the time, but you moved away from the rights of Kawhi Leonard. You get I just lost his name. What's the guy's name? You just said his name. I don't know why. Who? From IUPUI.
Paul George?
No, not
Paul George. George Hill.
George Hill. Gosh, I don't know what's going on in my head today. George Hill. And so you get George Hill, then George Hill moves on. You get Paul George kind of by default, but you haven't drafted well. You lose your coach. You replace your coach. You say that you want a offensive-minded coach, and so you replace him with a defensive-minded coach, and then you want an offensive-minded coach, so you replace that guy with a defensive-minded coach. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I guess I could see your point, how Larry Bird could lose his job.
Yeah, and I mean, do they really want to be? I think it's because they don't want to be the franchise that fired Larry Bird. I think they want him to step down, I guess. I mean, I have Magic Johnson on the Lakers now, so I mean, it's gonna. I hope they don't treat it like a feud, so sort of like where they're going to be talking deals and all that. So, but we'll see. I think he is gone though.
Yeah. Well, we move on. I mean, the big news is DeMarcus Cousins. I don't think we talked about this, right? DeMarcus Cousins moving down to New Orleans. In fact, I know we didn't. That dude's only 26 years old. And the other guy in that deal that nobody's really talking about is Omri Caspi, who's a very serviceable player. He's now down in New Orleans. I hate the fact that New Orleans had to give up Buddy Hield to make this happen. But they basically got DeMarcus Cousins for nobody. And then you're pairing DeMarcus Cousins there with Anthony Davis. And, I heard – it was something on ESPN, which this just pisses me off. They say that there's a question, like in the little ticker across the bottom, that said, is this the best big man tandem ever, right? And this is before they've ever played a game, ever. I don't think they've ever been on the court at the same time in any in the USA Basketball or any other situation. They're asking the question, could this be the best big man combo of all time? it's just so presumptive to think that those two dudes can play together. Now, they don't necessarily play the same role, and I think Anthony Davis is probably a little bit more flexible in position than DeMarcus Cousins is. But it just seems strange to go out on that leave. I'm not incredibly confident in them pairing together successfully. What are your thoughts?
I like it. I think they could be dominant, but they just need the role players around them. They're gonna have like I think $87 million in cap, or you know, as far as the how much salary they'll have on the books. Get rid of Asik. What's his name?
Omer Asik.
You know that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Get rid of him. That's like $10 million. Then you can probably sign a big time player with that. Yeah, so I like it. You know, I think they really did that to neutralize the Warriors. It gives them it's really Spurs either light or Spurs heavy. I don't know what you'd call it, because that's what the Spurs were trying to do with Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge. One guy in the paint, one guy in the perimeter. They can really play that way with both guys. So I think it's going to make once they get comfortable playing alongside each other, I think it's going to make a huge difference. They might get a free agent out of this. If I'm them, you call Chris Paul. Yeah. It doesn't matter if he's going to resign with, if he says he's going to resign with the Clippers. You call him, you kidnap him like they did DeAndre Jordan. You play video games at somebody's house. You resign him, and they can possibly, just with Chris Paul, they can possibly bump up to the third seed, fourth seed.
Yeah, it seems. I was hearing people say that. Does this make them a competitive team in the West? And the answer to that is clearly no. Right? They're a bad team. You added another really solid player. But somebody's got to get those dudes the ball, right? And, they're not even in the playoffs now. They're a few games back out of Denver in that eighth seed. I don't think that this is – they're not going to be successful this year, and they're sort of on a timeline. So during the summer, there are, of course, going to be players in the free agent market, because clearly those two together, that's a pretty attractive team to go to at that point. Plus, it's New Orleans. Let's go a little bit to the west on I-10 and talk about your Houston Rockets getting Lou Williams from L.A. They get rid of Corey Brewer, who I liked, defensive player, former champion in college, Matt Bonner teammate, and they get in a first round pick, and they send that off to L.A. and they get Lou Williams, who's having probably the best year of his career. I don't know if they're thinking about starting Lou Williams or keeping him coming off the bench, but if he comes off the bench, Houston's bench is starting to look pretty salty, man. And I've been high on Houston this whole year, maybe my whole life, but as far as free agents, or not free agency, as far as the trade deadline goes, I'm looking at Houston and saying these guys won the trade deadline war. What are your thoughts on the Lou Williams going to Houston and what this does for their prospects this year?
Well, I forgot who mentioned that. I don't know if it was ESPN or NBA on Facebook or Twitter. I don't remember things anymore. They mentioned that now the Rockets have five of the top 25 three-point shooters in the league. Mm-hmm. You have Ryan Anderson, who if you slide to the five and then you put Trevor Ariza at the four, and then you play Lou Williams, Eric Gordon, and then James Harden together, that's going to be such a horrible lineup for the other team to guard. It's just scary. I like
no
what they
rebounds
did
on that team.
Well you don't need a rebound if you make them all, right?
Well, I guess.
So I think it's I'm scared for the Spurs. I'm petrified, because again, the Spurs are wanted to go big and versatile. These guys are going small, quick, and shooters, and you really can't guard that, maybe with the zone, but other than that, I think they're going to cause trouble in the West. I think they can neutralize the Warriors with that too. So we'll see how it goes. But I agree. I think they won, especially in the Southwest. I think the Southwest is getting a little scary now.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that the move is obviously made to neutralize the Warriors, and hopefully defensively it matches up to that. And Clint Capella, who's their five right now in Houston, that's an athletic dude. So he can get out and run as well. While he's not a three-point threat, it's not bad business to have Clint Capella out there on the court and then surround him with four shooters, like you said. It starts to get really, really scary. So, I am going with my early season prediction that, Houston's going to be in that, they're going to be the number two seed by the time that the playoffs hit. And I think that they won. They also moved around some pieces for their future, and you know, there was more. Houston did some other things during this time, but you know, the big thing is it's Lou Williams coming to Houston, another former Spur, or I should say the first former Spur that we're going to talk about is Tiago Splitter. He went to the Spurs B team over in Atlanta and played for the Atlanta Hawks after leaving San Antonio for a couple of years. He's 32 years old now. And now he's going to Philadelphia, which I thought was really interesting, really cool opportunity for Tiago Splitter because you know, some of that maturity, and maybe if he lasts in Philadelphia, which there's some rumors that he might be, you know, quite immediately moving on. I think that would be really good for Philadelphia to have a guy like Tiago who does all those little things there. What do you think about Tiago going to Philly? And we're going to talk about Nerlens Noel moving as well, but talk about Tiago in Philly and some of those rumors about him moving around even more, maybe.
Well, it makes no sense unless they're going to buy him out. If they buy him out, I'm free agent. He could sign where, you know, wherever. I think he's still injury prone, right? Is he still hurt?
Yeah, he's still hurt. I mean, he's always hurt, right? But if he plays in little doses, he's never been the guy that he was in San Antonio. But if he's playing in little doses, he's all right. I mean, he's a bench player now in his career for sure.
Yeah, I think he makes an interesting piece, maybe to Cleveland, maybe to, you know, I think he would be very interesting in Golden State. Mm-hmm. If he can play that little role. You know, I'd take him over Zaza any day, you know, bump Zaza down or release him, assign Splitter, pair him with JaVale McGee. I think that could be dangerous. With the Spurs, you know, there's been some fans talking about, you know, do we bring Tiago back? I know where you stand on this, and I know you're going to give your opinion on this. I would say no, just because you have Deadman. Deadman sort of plays that role. I mean, if you want more passing, that's, you know, that's really Splitter, but I think they're getting comfortable with what they have right now. If they were to get anybody, I think it would have to be a more versatile, balanced player on both sides of the ball.
I never thought that they should have put in Joel Anthony into that last spot. I would just get rid of Joel Anthony and bring in Tiago Splitter, a guy who could actually play in small doses and spell minutes for some of your starters. And I wouldn't say take any of Deadman's minutes. I don't think that Tiago would really play that much, but for, you know, a couple of minutes a game, I'd rather have him in there than Joel Anthony for sure. But maybe it doesn't even come to that. New Orleans Noel moves on to Dallas from Philly. So Philly's already started to break. Well, they've always been rumored to break these guys up. Seems like New Orleans Noel's been on the trade block since the moment he was drafted. But now he's gone from Philly and he's in Dallas. I really like that a lot for Dallas to develop him and commit to him as a part of their future. That dude's only 22 years old. So he's still very moldable, malleable, whatever I'm trying to say. And I think he'll do well there in Dallas as they look to the future. Some people are saying that now Dallas is in a position just with Noel to compete for that 7th and 8th spot in the West. I'm not so sure of that, but it certainly sets him up well for the future if you think that Noel's a good rim protector. What do you think about that?
What was that movie called? Was it Ghost with Patrick Swayze and they were molding the clay?
It was Ghost, yeah.
Yeah, I just pictured Mark Cuban when you were talking about molding him since he's only like 22 years old. I like that move. I don't think he's an impact player.
Right.
I think he needs to, you know, if he can grow into that defensive rim protector, sort of like Ben Wallace. Oh, I hate to compare it to Ben Wallace, but sort of like Ben Wallace, you know, that guy, Dikembe Mutombo, guys that, you know, would always protect and some offensive. Maybe Dan Sally Oops, you know, whatever they may run. I think it'll be good for him. As long as they don't really commit to him as an impact player, you know, sort of like this is going to be part of our core, part of our big three. I think he'll be okay as long as they don't do that.
And another guy that is now this is sort of how the dominoes fall, right? So just change his name. Nerlens Noel. That's so difficult to say. Is now a Dallas Maverick, which means that Andrew Bogut is not a Dallas Maverick anymore. He is up there in Philadelphia too, although that's a very temporary spot for him. You know, I'd expect Andrew Bogut to get cut, to get released, and to become a free agent. And Project Spurs' own Paul Garcia has some thoughts on Andrew Bogut and what that could potentially mean for a team like Golden State. What do you think about Andrew Bogut and his potential to play meaningful minutes for a contender yet this year?
What did you mention about Golden State?
If Bogut gets released, he could be picked up as a free agent, and potentially Golden State could be one of those destinations.
Oh, yeah. Him with Golden State is scary because, I mean, he's really what they've missed from the past team. Zaza can't really play offense like him. He's not, he's not a threat offensively to, you know, cut to the rim and, you know, be aggressive. So if you pair Bogut, even with the whatever little ounce of offense he can bring and, you know, off the ball screens and passing, with those four other guys who are starting, I don't think they're beatable. You know, I think you sort of, you know, tank the season for who, you know, all the rest of the teams and try to build in the offseason, because it's going to be a really difficult team to defend if they have all those five guys. You know, there's rumors flying around that he wasn't too happy about his his trade to Dallas. So maybe the Cavs pick him up. I don't know about that one, though, because they don't play that same sort of style. You know, the ball sort of tends to stick with the Cavs the majority of the time. Bogut doesn't really play in a system like that, doesn't play well in a system like that. There's been some murmurings about San Antonio. I would like him in San Antonio. You know, if he plays next to LaMarcus and then have Powell come off the bench and David Lee, now you really have that offensive bench that can, you know, really build up leads or bring you back into the game. They have enough offense from the perimeter players where they can do that. But I'd like him in San Antonio. We'll see how it is. But again, it's going to really diminish Deadman's role, Burton's role. But this season, I think that'd be okay. And especially, you know, with Deadman, I hate to talk business in that way, or, you know, sort of how it would affect his worth. But I mean, if they were to bring Bogut in and you have Deadman, you know, at the end of the bench now, it would be easier to re-sign him in the offseason than to really start him in the playoffs or, you know, off the bench as a first or second big. He, you know, puffs up his value, and then you have to really go into a big contract with that. So I would like Bogut in San Antonio.
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense. If you could sign him, you could make the money work. I didn't think about him in that starting role and having Powell come off the bench. But you're right. That just turns into a very scary offensive production. He just would Powell do that? And culturally, maybe he would. You know, I think we've always perceived him as the guy who always should have been a Spur because he just seems to be selfless. That said, I mean, I think that's a pretty tough call. He comes back from injury and then he's on the bench. But we'll see. I mean, I think that the Spurs, while they didn't do anything in free agency, which I still feel like they're, you know, to compete with the Warriors in the West, they had to do something. Maybe their eyes are to talk about the people who are going to get released and maybe go after some of those guys who are like your Andrew Bogut's, like your Tiago Splitters, who potentially will get released, and some other guys too. So I think that they'll probably be pretty active in that regard. There's been some other moves around. I don't know if we'll say any of these other are of value. Maybe the PJ Tucker thing. PJ Tucker from your Phoenix Suns is going up to Toronto, and that makes Toronto even more competitive. Of course, they just got Serge Ibaka from the Orlando Magic, I think maybe 2-3 weeks ago. I think it was Valentine's Day, actually. And so that makes Toronto even more competitive. Is your impression Toronto's just going all in this year? It's like 2017 or bust. Do you think that P.J. Tucker is a nice addition? Do you think Serge Ibaka, and you think the two players that they have up there now, does that put them in true competition with the Cavaliers this year? I mean, Cavs are kind of maybe not as healthy as we thought they were. I mean, you don't know what Kevin Love's going to be like. He should be fine, but you don't know that. J.R. Smith, I can't even remember what his injury was, but he's been gone all year. It's like a broken hand or something, I think. So he'll be coming back, but you don't really know what you have there. There's been talk of Iman Shumpert getting cut, and originally it was him getting moved, but you just don't know what the chemistry is with the Cavaliers. So a couple of questions for you in my very long-winded, you know, statement here is Cleveland, are they vulnerable, and is Toronto loading up to take them out this year?
I think this is their best chance, and I don't blame them because they've had really essentially the same team. They've changed some role players. You know, they brought in Scola, which I think they realized was a horrible decision in the past. So, I mean, they tried to change the role players, and it just didn't work. I think they sort of got the hint that they need impact players, you know, once they really try to clamp down on DeRozan and Lowry, you know, who's going to step up. That might be Ibaka now because, again, he can drag a big outside of the paint if he, you know, since he can shoot the threes nowadays. PJ Tucker is an offensive player. He can really take the burden off of those guys on a nightly basis. And, again, it's just going to they really succeeded in this trade because now they're harder to guard. And I think that's really one of the things that people overlook in trades like this. You know, they'll look at the player and they'll say, you know, he's really good, but he's not going to make that much of an impact. I think PJ Tucker is going to make an impact, a really big impact, because it's going to take the burden off of those guys. I don't think it'll be, you know, a big four or a big three, but again, it's going to be enough to really, you know, neutralize the defense and whatever they try to do. So I think they're going to give the Cavs trouble. I think it could go to seven games now, bro.
I do too. I thought even
with Toronto winning, I think they have a chance. No. I'll call it. Toronto's going to win.
One of you guys had Toronto coming out of the East this year. Was that you?
Yeah,
it was probably you. That would make sense. Well, you know, new power rankings are out. Bleacher Report power rankings. We'll go 10-1. This is post trade deadline, and what I think is really interesting is this are the last two spots on this list. OKC is actually ranked number 10. And this is Bleacher Report, right? So take that with a grain of salt. But OKC is supposedly the 10th best team in the NBA. And number 9 in front of them is Toronto. Do you sort of agree with that? Do you think Oklahoma City is the 10th best squad in the NBA?
Well, it's all Westbrook. I'd believe it. I mean, he's been playing at an insane level. Now they got Taj Gibson. Mm-hmm. They got McDermott. So, you know, again, they're going to be harder to guard, and I think that's why they also succeeded in that. They brought in some offensive players. They still have that defensive presence in the paint with Adams. So,
I like it. Cantor's coming back.
Yeah, well, have you noticed that he doesn't really make that much of an impact? I mean, I know he does, especially off the bench last season, but he's not really the guy, or you know, for his height and his ability, mm-hmm. he's not really that much of an impact player, and that's really disappointing. As a 5'5 guy, I would kill to have the blessed offensive skills and the height and all that.
I thought you were going to say his mustache. You're going to be blessed to have this.
Oh, mustache. I can grow a better one.
He's definitely his game from Utah has not translated to Oklahoma City. That's for sure. All that said, I think he's a terrific role player. He's not the man. He's not a star. I would never say that Cantor's part of any kind of like big three or anything like, and on any team, let alone Oklahoma City. But he's a serviceable player. I mean, I wouldn't mind having him in San Antonio for sure.
Who, Cantor? I don't know, man. I think I'd be happy with David Lee over Cantor at this point.
Well, yeah, no doubt. I was thinking like Deadman. I like David. I mean, David Lee's my, you know, pick of the week just every week. I mean, I think David Lee's phenomenal for the things that he does, and we've talked about that at length. Number 8 on their rankings is Utah, which I agree with that. Utah is a solid team this year.
I think that's pretty low.
You think, what do you mean low? Like they should be higher on the, they should be,
yeah, I think they should be higher.
Okay. Where would you have them?
Well, read out the rest and I'll tell you.
Clippers are 7th. Boston is 6th. This one I don't agree with. Houston's 5th. Washington is 4th, Cleveland's 3rd, the Spurs doing nothing on trade deadline, they're number 2, and of course the Warriors are number 1.
Oh, this is trade deadline, right? I thought you were talking about offense.
Well, no, this is the power ranking, so after the trade deadline. So this isn't performance of during the trade deadline, this is their power rankings with their new team.
Can you tell it's Friday for me? I agree with you.
You should apologize. Rockets and Jazz
should be higher than Boston. Yeah, should be higher than Boston. I agree with that.
Yeah, it's very strange. I mean, the Rockets are higher than Boston. They're 5th. Boston's 6th. The Wizards. I mean, Houston's better than the Wizards.
Oh, Wizards. Yeah.
Yeah, Houston's better than the Wizards for sure. There's no doubt in my mind. I think that Houston's right on the heels of San Antonio. In San Antonio being ranked 2nd, I'd have Houston at 3 or 4. It's tough to say, oh, let's kick Cleveland out of, I mean, the defending champs, right? It's tough to say, let's kick them out of that 3rd spot. But, man, Houston is right there in that mix for sure. And they only got better, you know, after trade deadline. I think Washington is riding a pretty hot streak. They're a good team. They're a good Eastern Conference team, no doubt. But I mean, come on, Houston's better than them for sure. I think that as San Antonio being second is probably appropriate, having done nothing. What do you think? Do you agree with that? I mean, San Antonio is the second best team in the NBA.
Second best team in the NBA. Well, who's no? I'd have to say third. I would still put the Cavs better than them, and I would still put a Golden State better than them.
So you have so your order would be Golden State, Cleveland, San Antonio, Houston.
Yeah, and then Utah.
And then Utah. Okay. Wow. Okay. That's
You know what I was thinking? Wouldn't it be interesting if Darren Williams went back to Utah?
No, I don't care about Darren Williams.
Well, just trying to give him some airtime.
That dude's a loser, man. Like, he's no good. He's no good at all. I mean, what would be interesting? Like, the storyline that he went to Utah, he hated Utah.
He was his best in Utah, though. It's the air there.
Yeah, but that best was 10 years ago.
Maybe it was Jerry Sloan. Who knows? Maybe.
I'm going to go with that. Let's go. Well, here's another interesting fact. Out of that top 10, and I thought this was kind of unique, the top 10, if you looked at it from Western Conference, Eastern Conference, the West has six teams in the top 10, and the East has four. That's a little bit more even than what I had anticipated. You know, I thought that the West, it would just be more Western Conference dominant. I could see Boston. I just didn't really even consider Washington at all. I think that's sort of the outlier here for me. Out of the East, you could see Cleveland. You could see Boston. And obviously, you could see Toronto there being the top three. But I just didn't think that Washington was a – I mean, I could see them being a top 10 only in that I don't think that Oklahoma City should be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but they shouldn't be there. I mean, I sometimes even forget Washington is in the league, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Well, let's go to Spurs. Next five home games. They have a really interesting streak of their next five home games. On March 1st, they play Indiana and the Pacers come to town. So that's just right around the corner. Should be a win there, in my opinion. But then they go on a nice little run here. They go on the 6th, they have the Rockets come to town. Should be a great game. And then here's the run that I really want to talk about. The 11th, the 27th, and the 29th of March, they go Golden State, Cleveland, Golden State. So here's those other two Golden State games that are coming back. I fully anticipate it to be just vintage Popovich, where one game he goes all in, plays all his players, the other game everybody's resting, and you see a whole lot of Joel Anthony and your boy Kyle Anderson. What do you think about how Popovich is going to play Golden State in these two games in March?
How he's going to play Golden State, I have no idea. Which ones are – they're all home games, right, you said?
Yeah, these are home. So it's two Golden State home games. But they go Golden State on the 11th, and then the next Spurs home game is against Cleveland on the 27th, and then it's Golden State on the 29th.
That's going to be – I think the first Golden State game, I think the old guys might rest. I think he'll throw the young guys into the fire and see how they play. You know, if DeJounte Murray, I think that's if he can check Curry just a little bit, maybe better than Parker and Patty Mills, I think you might see progress into, you know, his minutes getting up. I think you might see more Bertans, might see more of a Deadman, maybe less of David Lee, but who knows. But then really, maybe the next game after that, that's where you're going to see really the old guys try to fight for their spot and see how much they have left. Because, again, what worries me is Tony Parker in that matchup. Tony Parker against Golden State. Steph Curry, if he's not guarding Steph Curry, who is he going to guard? Klay Thompson? Or is he going to guard Kevin Durant or Draymond Green? I mean, it's such a horrible matchup for Tony Parker. I could even see Pop pulling – do you remember last season with Tim Duncan where he came off the bench?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In one of the games? Uh-huh. I could probably see that with Tony Parker at some point. You know, I don't know about starting Patty Mills. That's why I think Murray might get some minutes. So I think the young bloods are going to play that first Golden State game, see how they do, and then it'll be really up for grabs for the old guys in the next one. With Cleveland, I think that's going to be a trap game. Because they played so hard the first one when they were sort of missing some personnel, where I think, you know, they might take it easy on them, or they might play to the competition, you know, play lesser. So
play down to them.
Yeah.
So what in those five games, what do you think they're going to go as far as record? Pacers, Rockets, Golden State, Cleveland, Golden State.
I think they'll win the Pacers game, unless they get lazy again. The Rockets, I think they'll lose that one. I think they could go 2-3.
I also had them going 2-3, maybe. But what's the other win? You think that they win Golden State or Cleveland?
Well, I would have them win the Rockets. What would I have? The Pacers. I have them winning Pacers and Cleveland. But if they win another one to go 3-2, I think it might be the Rockets.
Yeah, I have them the same. Other than the Rockets win, I think it's Pacers, and I think that they can beat Cleveland. I'm sad to say that I think that they lose both of those Golden State games. I mean, it would be interesting to see if they didn't, because I mean, it's kind of revenge. Remember, this will be the next Golden State game since San Antonio beat them in the opener. So a bit of a revenge game there for Golden State.
And this is going to be huge because now the Spurs are going to, you know, after watching some game film, because remember, it was the first game of the season.
Yeah.
So they really didn't know what each one was going to do, even in preseason. I mean, you really don't give away your cards during the regular season, let alone preseason. So now we're going to see how Golden State is going to adjust to that pressure. Remember, Pop sort of still played that pressure the big guy if they try to go with the switch on a pick. They played that bully ball down in the paint where they tried to offensive rebound. You know, is Golden State going to slow the game down by having five guys trying to defensive rebound, or are they going to run still? I mean, who knows? I think this is going to be the interesting game where we're going to see Golden State if they're going to adjust. And if they don't adjust, that's going to be interesting too, because I mean, basically the Spurs can go off of that and the league's going to go off of that. You know, if they try to play really to their talent instead of really try to play that, play a strategy out there. So it's going to be interesting.
There you go. That's the final word. So that's it for this episode of the Spurs Cast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Spurs Cast. Catch up with Jose at JRG1023. Me, I'm at RyanMC_PS. Make sure to follow us or follow any of the Project Spurs folks. Get on over to projectspurs.com. Jose, thanks a lot, man. Have a great weekend. And to you listeners, you're welcome.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.